A big thanks to Enda and Carberry Group. I think this is a fantastic initiative, and we should be seeing a lot more of this all across Ireland. And what was just said there, farmers are in the human health business, and I couldn't agree more, because human health comes primarily from nutrition and nutrient-dense foods. Yeah, there's some genetics, but it's mostly from what you put in your mouth. So I'll go through some heart disease realities here now. So I work on behalf of David Bobbitt, who's an Irish entrepreneur who set up the Irish Heart Disease Awareness Charity. So ihda.ie, you'll get a lot of the information around what I'm speaking about today, and short videos to explain things to the non-expert, if you will. As was mentioned there by Enda, yeah, I've spoken to the British Association for Cardiovascular Prevention and other medical and nutritional conferences all around the world for the past several years. I just want to start with looking at health span. Now, lifespan is one thing, but you really don't want to spend a long time at the end of your life in poor health. So health span is how long you can live while still being vital, engaged with life, productive, enjoying life. So basically, the best choice people often get up into the 80s with good health, and I'm sure you know many. However, if you make very poor choices in nutrition and health, or if you're unlucky in some other manner, your health span can only go up to the 50s and 60s. And I'd say a lot of you know people like that as well, who have chronic disease in around 60, and it impacts their life. Now, the reality is that you guys bust your ass working your whole life so you can have the money, resources, and security to enjoy this period after you back off from work. And there's a huge amount of value out here. There's sports, socializing, watching the grandchildren grow up or being part of their development. Huge amount of very delightful life out here. But that's at play. That 20 years is something you play for with your choices. So basically, this is the biggest killer that takes away that period at the end of life. It's coronary disease, atherosclerosis, vascular disease, heart attacks. And interestingly, heart attacks kill 5 times more women than breast cancer does. So it's not just the men, but we often associate it as a male problem primarily. So it's a huge issue, and that's what I'm going to talk about it. If you don't measure it, it don't get fixed. That's what we always said in expert problem-solving circles in engineering. So you need to measure a problem very accurately to best tackle it and fix it. And that's one of the problems with the medical or sick business these days, is there's not the right types of measurements. So I'm going to introduce coronary artery calcification, the CAC score, from a simple CT scan which looks into your heart. And to find and treat the disease and prevent heart attacks, you must know what's going on inside and get them before the heart attack. So I'll give an example that's actually in the medical world today, and it's quite sad, and it's been like that for decades. So if a woman was concerned about cancer at middle age, there would be tests done, but certainly if there was a concern with breast cancer, there'd be a mammogram, they would look for a tumor, they would look for an early sign of disease. And then what would happen if there was disease is the appropriate treatments would be carried out way in advance of the cancer being serious or terminal, ideally. So medical system would kick into place based on the outcome. For men or women with coronary vascular disease concerns, do they use a scan to find out whether you have disease or how much you have? Well, actually, no. Incredibly, to this day, they use a series of basic questions, and then they take a guess, a statistical guess, as to whether you might have a large amount of heart disease. And then, if you have a high risk in these statistical guess algorithms, you may get medications for life. Or if you come out lower risk in the guesswork, but you actually have a massive heart attack, well, no one ever tried to prevent it. So hopefully you can see it's crazy compared to how the technology is applied in cancer. What they should do, of course, is if they had a simple scan to find out how much disease you actually have, use that and give you medications, lifestyle change, and everything else if you've got a lot of disease. And if you don't, spare you the medications. So CAC I'll show here, you must identify people, and there is a scan, a coronary scan that's out for 30 years and is grossly underused. So I'll tell you about it. You roll in for 5 minutes, couple of hundred euro, covered by insurance now in many cases, And the scan simply measures whether you have any calcium. This person is my co-author, Dr. Gerber, and he has zero calcium in his heart at 56, which is pretty good going. Right, I have a zero at 48. But that means you have no measurable heart disease in your arteries, which means your risk is extremely low. On the right, we have an unidentified person, and you can see the glaring white calcium all down the main arteries, the pipes in your heart. This person is a super high-risk patient, but you find out in 5 minutes who's who. The scan centres around Ireland, there's 8 or 9 of them, and they're available on ihda.ie, so you can find them there. It's sometimes said that, oh, there's x-rays or radiation. Well, I'm an engineer, and trust me, using the risk calculators, the tiny amount of radiation gives you a 1 in 20,000 extra risk, theoretical, over the next 20 years or rest of life. So that's a distraction to bring that up, in case you hear it. And all presidents and astronauts must have this scan before taking office or going into space. So that answers the question in one go, right? If they must have it for the last 10 years, you know what the best test is. And you're entitled to that yourself. You don't have to be a president, I would say. So on the homepage, we also have the 2018 guidelines. IHDA are not telling people to do something that's not per the guidelines. This is very important. Our charity is to simply get awareness around what's already being guided in the US and European guidelines. And there's a 1 minute video where that's explained on the website. So this is already in the system, but no one knows about it. So I'll show you some of the risk figures, not too much data here now, but basically this human study agrees with all the others, but it really shows you the score. So basically, no matter what age you are, right, if you have a zero score in that scan, you have a very low risk in the next 10 years of a heart event or heart attack. It's never zero, but it's extremely low. If you have a score 1 to 100, and there's countless middle-aged people walking around out there who have no idea because no one scanned them, you have 5 times approximately the risk, no matter what age you are. And if you get a really high score over 100, up to the thousands, your risk is 20 times a guy or a gal with a zero. So this test decides who has disease, and this test decides who's at risk and who needs to be treated. That's why it's crucial. Just to stress this point, a 50-year-old who gets a high score in the next 10 years is around 20 times more likely to have a heart attack than a 70 or 80-year-old who gets a zero. And I know a couple of these people. So you only know when you get the scan, because the guesswork doesn't work. David Bobbitt, my sponsor, set up ihda.ie, and he's put around $5 million into this. It's all philanthropy, because he got a huge score, and he fixed his heart disease 8 years ago and achieved safety. If he hadn't have discovered that by accident, he probably wouldn't be here. So how do we intervene and slow or stop progression? Because this disease that causes heart attacks, atherosclerosis, is a chronic progressive disease driven mostly by diet and lifestyle. And if you stop the progression because you find out you have a problem, you can bring your risk right down to the floor again by fixing the problem. And that's important. There's no point getting a high score and then waving your hands around. You can go in and you can fix. So this study showed that people with a very high score at the start of the 7-year study and who increased their score per year quite a lot, over 15%, so like 500 going to 600 going to 700, they had a 50% heart attack rate. Right, that's double-barrel shotgun, one trigger. 50% heart attack. However, the people at the start of the study with the same high score, so the same theoretical risk, but who managed to bring their progression down, so they were down to less than 15% per year. So their calcium rose very slowly. Do you think they had a lower heart attack rate? Well, if I'm telling the truth, they should have, right? 3%. And basically, these people had a heart attack rate not much higher than someone with a zero score because they had slowed their progression. So that's the hope. You find out, you do something. So what drives progression? And I'm going to be high level here. here you see Western white men, and it's just the distribution of calcification from your 50s up to your 70s in the population. And as you can see there, the top 10% or 15% of people who get the disease and calcify have scores up to the thousands. So an enormous amount of disease in the West. And as Brendan mentioned, you know, modern chronic disease is upon us. It's a tsunami. If you look at Samane men, who are a population in Bolivia, or Catavans in the other side of the world, these are humans too, look at their calcification levels. Same ages, practically none. These populations in the world have heart disease rates so low, they're studied all the time. How on earth are these humans having no disease? And the reason is, without getting into too much detail, they don't have the main drivers of heart disease. They are eating ancestrally and they are living ancestrally. They are missing this list of heart disease primary root causes. Now you notice I don't have cholesterol up there, and the reason is cholesterol is a very weak and misleading risk factor. These guys over on the right with no heart disease, their cholesterol counts of bad cholesterol are similar to the guys on the left. But I'll emphasize high blood insulin and high blood glucose and blood glucose spikes, so diabetic type physiology. That's the primary driver of all. And arguably from studies at the moment, 64% of over 45s in America essentially have diabetes, which is insulin resistance. So I'll give you one exercise. I don't have time here to go through all the science, but Google insulin resistance and the disease of your choice, Alzheimer's, heart disease, even arthritis and other conditions, and you're going to see a mass of science the past 20 years. Insulin resistance underpins our modern disease epidemic. Now, just to give you a flavor of that, here's a study for 7 years tracked men. And they had a heart attack at the start. They got them and they followed them for 7 years to see what's going to happen to them. Will they have another? But they checked their bloods. So to give you an idea of what's important in heart disease risk, their cholesterol and their bad cholesterol didn't predict the future heart attack at all. Whether it was high or low, didn't predict anything over the 7 years. High blood pressure doubled your risk to have a second heart attack. And that makes sense. But most blood pressure problems are due to insulin resistance. That's the key. What about high blood insulin? Did that predict a bigger multiplier of risk of having a second one? What do people think? 7 times more likely to have the second heart attack with high insulin. So again, without getting into the science, insulin resistance, hyperinsulin, high insulin, high blood glucose, that's the big game in town. Dietary drivers of progression, and the farmers are indeed, you know, the owners of health, no question, because food is a huge part of it. I'm going to show you on the left the really bad foods for heart disease and all chronic disease. So breads are considered kind of healthy, whole grain. They're nowadays essentially highly refined grains and vegetable oils with some sugars and other stuff. They're very refined foods. They're not good. All the grains and cereals, pastas people are eating, they're mostly just glucose. They're carbohydrate, they're just glucose mostly. That goes straight into your blood as glucose. All of these vegetable oils that rose in the last century, these are problematic industrial seed oils extracted at high temperature and pressure from seeds like sunflower. Without going into detail, they are very problematic. They are not anything to do with vegetables at all. And all these snacks, grainy things, these are modern ultra-processed foods that fill the supermarket now. And they are the most important dietary problem in modern chronic disease. Now, you guys are probably going to like this, because if people rule those out, they need to eat healthy foods. So I'll give you a quick picture of what healthy food looks like. And it's actually human evolutionary ancestral foods are the correct ones, that were there for hundreds of thousands of years before our epidemic of heart disease and diabetes started around 100 years ago. So you got very high fat foods in here because they're natural real foods like avocado and olives. Organ meats are superfoods. They talk about kale and things, but organ meats are superfoods. And you've got fatty meats are good, grass-reared, eggs, butter is fine and all that, and vegetables and fish. So those are the good foods. And those are the foods you want to be eating if you're at risk for chronic disease. So that's essentially it. I only had 15 minutes and probably a lot in there, but we can talk in the Q&A later.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see a free viewing of the Widowmaker movie on the far right, and myself and Dr. Gerber's book, Eat Rich, Live Long, on the left.